Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Standing Between the Living and the Dead Memorial Prayer Devotional Evangelistic Service. It is a big service. It is a workman's service, a workwoman's service. You do not come here to be entertained. This is not an entertainment type service, and none should be. If you come here, you're coming to pray. You're coming to remember the dead and pray for their families. You're coming to hear the word. You're coming to be challenged and encouraged to pray with your family at home. No matter how tough it might be, no matter how hard it might be, because it's sometimes hard to love family members, especially those who are contrary. You need strength to pray with contrary people. You need strength to pray with them and for them. You need strength to love people, especially those who are contrary. And it's a rough road. It's a tough road. But if you want to be victorious, you will have to go down this rough, tough road of prayer, reading God's word, loving your family members, not just church family members, but your family members. The old folks used to say charity begins at home. And I believe one of the reasons why God has you at home right now with your family is to help you to understand that, to help you to stop being a hypocrite, thinking that everybody else's family is better than yours, and everybody else's husband is better than your husband, everybody else's wife is better than your wife, everybody else's mother is better than your mother, everybody else's father is better than your father, everybody else's children is better than your children, all such foolishness. That's just the result of our wicked, evil, sinful nature. You better pray with the one you're with. And isn't it strange that when you finally get rid of the one you're with through divorce or whatever, isn't it strange how that they become in your mind's eye not that bad? Husband and wife. One preacher said one time, you need to thank God you got somebody to fuss with sometime. Because one day you're going to have a home where there's nobody. And you're going to wish you had somebody to talk to. So pray with the ones you're with. Love the ones you're with. And because here's the deal, people. If you fail in your family, you fail everywhere. If you fail in your family life, you fail everywhere. Nothing, when you're on your deathbed, nothing else is going to matter to you. If God has blessed you to be put in a family, and then you foul it up and you mess it up with evil and sin and stubbornness and rebelliousness, God has blessed your union with children, and you foul it up and you mess it up by neglecting your children, hating your children, not having at least natural affection for your children, and not taking care of them, and not loving them as you should. And you cause them to be in a split household situation through divorce. And you put them through that hell because of your evil selfishness, your unwillingness to suck it up. See, sometimes in marriage and in family and in life, you just got to suck it up and you got to be tough. Because it's going to be rough. And so you got to be tough and you got to take a licking, as the Timex ad used to say, and keep on ticking. And you've got to sacrifice sometimes, my beloved, for your children. You've got to put up with some things for your children's sake so that they can have a better chance at life than you. I believe that every generation ought to get better and better. I know that for a fact, that by the grace of God, I learned from my father positively and negatively. My father loved his children. He loved us so much he would do anything to try to cover our tracks and give us all kinds of sweets and cookies and sodas and stuff we didn't need. And he always had us in his mind. He would always bring us something to eat. Never name brand now. He was cheap. Never name brand. No, sir. No, sir. It was always off brand. The sodas, it was a strawberry soda. That's it. That's what the bottle said. A grape soda. Grape. That's it. There's no Coca-Cola. No. But he thought he was doing something. And every now and then he'll cook for us and he would find some fat back somewhere and some flour and make us some fat back. I don't know where the fat came from. Crackling. He used to call it crackling. Crackling. Some hard fat. I guess it came from the pig. And he would toss that pig fat up into the pancakes and give us some white Cairo syrup. Now, he thought he was doing something. See, that's what he ate when he was growing up. We were, contrary to what they're saying today, we wanted Angemima syrup, real syrup, sweet syrup. But he brought us some white, got us some white, I guess it was welfare, white Cairo syrup. And then a slice, every now and then he'll toss a slice of welfare cheese up on there as well. And he thought he was just, bam, there you go. And we would be looking at you, what is this? Is this slave food? What is this? But he did everything he could to help his children. He loved his children, but he loved us too much. He let us get away with evil. And so I learned from my father, positively and negatively, yes, to love my children and to want to have fun with them and bring them things. And I know all about that because ever since my children have been born, whenever I'm out, it's not something I try to do. I don't try to think about them and what can I bring them. And I do this less now because they're older and they don't appreciate it as much as when they were younger. But man, listen, I'll stop by Dollar General, I'll stop by Walmart, and man, some of the things I enjoyed when I was a child, like cookies and things like that, and sodas, I would stop by and get it for them, and it didn't cost much, but they loved it. They would just they'd go crazy over it. They just loved it. But at the same time, I did something differently. That different than what my father did. When they lied or they disobeyed or they stole something or caught an attitude from the devil, I would chastise them and rebuke them. And do you know what? When my children have pure hearts, they understood why I did it. You know how I know? They wrote a whole book. They wrote letters to me telling me, thank you, Papa, for whipping us for being bad. They understood when they were little. Why? Because they had pure hearts then, see. Pure hearts. They were innocent. And they understood it. And so I know that this generation that I just raised, by the grace of God, they're not perfect and far from it. But they're better than what we were. And all, and I owe everything to God and to the gospel and to God, to Jesus Christ, and to the gospel, because it was Jesus who saved my soul for real, not church. Jesus saved my soul December 19th, 1979. So by the time I got married, I had already read how the family is supposed to be. And I believe with all of my heart that my wife and I would not be married today if I had not read the Bible for myself and learned how the family is supposed to be. It's amazing that even when people don't understand it and when people don't even like it, it's amazing that if you stick with the Bible, it somehow works. So we give God the glory. Ladies and gentlemen, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "Brethren, I wish it were more common. I wish it were universal for all Christians to have family prayer." My, my, my. We sometimes hear of children of Christian parents who do not grow up in the fear of the Lord, the fear of God. And we are asked how it is that they turn out so badly, so badly. In many, many cases, I fear there is such a neglect of family worship, family prayer, family devotions, family altar, family church, if you will, that is not probable that the children are at all impressed by any piety supposed to be possessed by their parents. And I concur. Let's pray. Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for giving us a mind to pray several times already this morning. Before this service, and we pray that you would hear and answer all of our prayers. And Holy Father God, we come now to pray specifically for all Christian families, and that includes our family, as I have prayed now by your grace for 33 years. Lord, we pray for the healing of every Christian marriage and family. We pray, Lord, that you would help every Christian marriage and family to understand that we must not just pray together, but we must obey together if we want to stay together. So many pastors' families, so many deacons' families, so many families in the church, so many families of trustees in the church. The biggest problem in the church is broken families. Families that have been torn apart by the devil. Families torn apart where neither the husband or the wife, they never even thought about divorcing. They would have never had that big, beautiful, multi-$1,000 wedding if they were going to get a divorce. Children have been scattered all across these United States and around the globe. back and forth with such wickedness and such evil and such selfishness. And of course, these children have taken advantage and have played one set of parents against another set of step-parents, and a whole bunch of foolishness and sin and evil has taken place. So Holy Father God, help people who claim to be Christians to humble themselves, pray, seek your face, turn from all of our wicked ways, and repent and get back to you, our first love, and if we can, get our families together and healed. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will help Christian people to think about what they're doing, single people and married people, and help them to see how sin is destroying their lives. And Lord God in heaven, we pray for the salvation of those families that don't even know you as Savior, have never trusted you as Savior, have never even heard the gospel because of a church selfish and distracted. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins of not witnessing to the lost, so that their families can be healed and have a little bit of heaven on earth and peace and joy. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would, whether you want to use us or not, because we have failed you so miserably, we pray that you would raise up laborers into the whited harvest fields to reap the harvest so that they can be saved. For your glory, praise, and honor, thank you for your holy word that says men ought always to pray and not to faint. Thank you for your holy word that says pray without ceasing. Lord, thank you for your holy word that says ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Lord, thank you for your holy word that says pray always, connected with the whole arm of God as one of our weapons. Lord, help us to use that weapon throughout this day. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. Join me in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, today in the family passage, which I believe most families need to read every day, I hope to God you're one of those few families, you got it going on where y'all wake up happy, you wake up loving one another, and things are done in a decent and orderly fashion, and you pray together, you read the Word of God together, you keep the devil at bay. You don't have one child or two children filled with demons, demon-possessed. And I believe there are a few families, largely because for going back generations, their families have been Christians, Bible-believing Christians. And so there are a few families like that. But even some of those families are not where they ought to be. And one of the reasons why is because the devil hates your family. If you name the name of Christ, if you're serving God, you're serving Jesus, you're serving in a church, you're having family worship, the devil is going to be on you like white on rice and black on me, I assure you. You can try to blame everybody. You can blame everybody in the family. You can blame your husband. You can blame your wife. You can blame your children. You can blame mom and daddy. And everybody wants to blame somebody. Nobody blames the devil, because the devil is behind it. He's behind it. I can assure you that. That's why you need to remember in marriage. One of the key things you need to remember in marriage life, family life, is that we do not wrestle with flesh and blood. The devil is behind everything that's negative. Yes, people have to take personal responsibility. And what I tell my family members is this: don't let the devil use you as a doorway to get up in here. See, because I can't deal with the devil, but I can deal with you. And I will. So don't let the devil put foolishness in your mind to cause a problem up in here. Because I got to deal with you for letting him do that. And then God will deal with the devil in time to come. But anyway, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Stop believing lies. And believe the truth, the word of God. One of the values of, one of the benefits of having family worship and family devotionals and is reading the word of God in prayer has a way of reminding you of how you ought to be thinking and living as a Christian. It's a daily reminder. And sadly, we're so wicked in our sinful nature that we need this daily reminder. And for so many people, it's a shock to the system every day when they hear good portions of the Bible read. Pardon me. It's a shock to the system. Kind of like when people are in the hospital and they're struggling a little bit with breathing or heart stop, and they put those things on them. Bam! That's what the word does to you every day. It has a way of waking you back up, helping you to stop thinking. Isn't it amazing how we start thinking worldly and fleshly, or if we're not praying and reading the Bible like we should? That's why you need to have a time every morning to pray and read the Bible with your family. Believe the truth. The Bible has a way of bringing you back to the truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. This includes Jesus' righteousness, because we don't have any righteousness, but it also includes us being saved and loving God back, loving Jesus back so much, and fearing God so much that we practice righteousness. We do righteous deeds, righteous things. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. always be prepared to share the gospel with those who are lost. See, this is another weapon. See, the devil, these are things, see, this is something that the devil hates. We just got back from passing out gospel literature. And the devil is even fighting us on that. We passed out some more chick tracts this morning. And you need to be prepared to always share the gospel. In the words of the pastor down in San Diego, do something. If you can't do everything, do something. Do something. Get the gospel out by any means necessary. Get behind a mic. Get on your iPhone. Get on your Android phone. Do a live testimony thing. Tell, before you die, share your testimony on how you got saved and leave it for the world to view it. Above all, taking the shield of faith, walk by faith and not by sight. So many people today are depressed, defeated, downcast. So many young people are bitter. They're mad as fire. I don't know who they're mad at, who they think they're getting mad at. They won't say it, but they're mad at God. They feel cheated because of this plague. They feel like it's unfair for them to have this oppressive thing pressing down on them. And if you don't, listen to me very carefully, if you don't get in tune with God and pray to God every day and pray without ceasing, if you're not careful, you will lose it, or the devil will come alongside you and help you to lose it. A rather well-to-do rich man who was married, or at least a boyfriend of one of the most beautiful women in the world at one time, he just got sick and tired of this plague and this sheltering in place. And listen to me very carefully. If you don't have Jesus, I don't know how you're making it. I don't know. If you don't have Jesus, I don't know how you're making it. Because this can mess with you. It messed with this man. Rich, well-to-do man. Once dated or married to one of the most beautiful women in the world. And he just said, I'm going to kill myself, and in a very, very tragic and violent way. I mean, in a way that people will know that he was just through. Yesterday or the day before, he just jumped off of a 24-story building, I believe it was. Had all the money in the world. If he had a beautiful girl before, he can easily get another one, probably had another one. But he said he killed himself because he just could not stand this lack of human contact. You need Christ in your life. And you need to walk with him. And you need to, if you are a child of God, you need to humble yourself, pray, and seek God's face and turn from your wicked ways. Instead of going down into the doldrums, into the dungeon of depression and sadness, as so many people have. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. which is the Word of God. We have a lot of protective gear here, but we also have some weapons: the Word of God, the Gospel, and this one is what I referred to earlier, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You need to use your protective gear. Put on the whole armor of God, the breastplate, the helmet. But you need to use your weapons too: the Word of God, the Gospel, prayer. Now just understand, if you understand now, when you do that, when you use your weapons, you are starting a battle, and the devil will join the battle. You need to understand that. So you can say, well, I don't want to start a battle. You're going to be disobedient, and you're going to be always on the defensive and not gaining any ground for God, for Jesus. Where's your bloodstained banner at? When you pass out a gospel tract, you're planting the bloodstained banner down, bam, in the devil's kingdom. When you witness to somebody online, or you share a podcast or Instagram video, 5 minutes, or a TikTok, you tell somebody about Jesus, you're planting the flag in devil's territory. He's not going to let you do that easily. You can do it, but he's going to fight you. When you pray with your family in the morning, it may be rough and tough, and it may be dark and dim, like where we are now. You know, it's overcast all week long, and the devil is fighting, and the things are not fun. And then you have the plague and all of this, and everybody's got to wear a mask, and you can't go to certain places, and there's nothing but bad news. It's going to be a battle. And if you don't use your weapons and your protective gear, you're going to fall into the slough of despond. Mm-hmm. Yes. Young and old, right now, in the slough of despond. Read Pilgrim's Progress. It's not always easy in the Christian life. You've got to fight sometime. You've got to fight. You've got to fight. Did you not know you got to fight the devil for your family, for your children? And you got to pray to God when everything outside of you and everything in you does not want to pray. You got to pray for your children growing up, and your adult children. Some of you people, either, listen to me very carefully, bless your heart, either you're going to pray for your children without ceasing, or you're going to worry about your children without ceasing. I come from a family of yes, they prayed some, but they were warriors too. On my mother's side, warriors. I mean, that was the thing. I had a grandmother. She's in heaven now, bless her heart. I had a grandmother who had a nervous breakdown. I never understood what that was. I don't, now that I'm saved 40 years, I don't know how you can have a nervous breakdown and be a Christian, but she did. She just, you know why? She worried for her. Listen to me carefully. God bless your heart. She worried about her children. I'm telling you, I know this to be true. Mother Gladys Beeman, sweet mother, you know, See, she was the my grandmother, but we call her mother because she was at home more than my mother was. Mother. Beaming. That's not my natural last name on my mother's side. It's Croom. But that didn't work out. That marriage didn't work out. And she had three boys and one girl. And that one girl is my mother. She went through hell without her father and without her mother. But my grandmother, Mother Beeman, sweet lady, could sing and pull up a prayer and start a song just in her. But she worried. She worried herself sick over her children. And so evidently she was not as much of a prayer warrior as we might think. I want to help you. This is the cure for worry. Pray. Did you hear me? You may not feel like praying, but you better pray. You might not want to pray, but you better pray. You better pray. You better pray about everything. You need to be praying for your children every hour. Call them out by name, because the devil is seeking to destroy them. And you. Pray without ceasing. Pray always. Pray always. Let them hear you pray. Stop worrying and stop whining and complaining and always trying to tell them something. They're grown now. If you didn't raise them right, they're gone now too. See, that's why some parents don't. That's why some parents worry. They didn't raise them right. They were not there for the children. And those 18, 19, 20 years went by real fast. You don't know them and they don't know you. Now you're worried. And so all of you mothers, I'm talking to all of you mothers and all of you fathers out there, God is trying to change the game for you. Take it. It's not about the career anymore, sister. It's about raising your children and homeschooling your children. That's right. You can work at home. You don't believe it? You know what's happening right now in the economy? You know how many people bought into the open space housing, you know, design, the open space, you know. I know you just love these little home shows. Some of these people make me so sick. Some of these people don't even know what they're talking about. These home shows. I just skip right through them, you know. I see some of them and they kill me. Like they're experts on everything about the house. And so, for years, you know, people started buying these open space type housing situations, not that many rooms and compartments and so forth. You know what the trend is now for those who are trying to get into a house? Which is a very strange and iffy situation right now. You know what they're doing? This was in the news this morning. They're trying to find a house that has room enough where they can have an office or two offices and a homeschooling room. That's what folks are looking for now. Because they know they're going to be working from home. They're looking for, they want a house that has a home office that's suited for a home office. God is trying to help you. He's trying to change the game in your life and get you back with your family, where you can get to know your children. I believe one of the reasons why God allows you 18, 20 years, 19 years with your children, so that you can really get to know them and see what kind of character they have, see how they operate under pressure, see if they're go-getters or they're slothful, bad attitudes or good attitudes, positive or negative, all that. And some of you parents don't know anything about your children. That's why you're worried. You don't know them and they don't know you. And then Paul said, "And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." There's that weapon again, the gospel. See, that's what the devil hates. When your main purpose in life is to get the gospel out to the lost, and you're going to pray to do it, you're going to read the word of God to do it, you're going to walk by faith to do it, and he can't stand it. So here's your assignment today. Pray without ceasing, which I tell you every day. I cannot emphasize that enough. And the doldrums will go away from your mind. The depression, the despondency, the worry will go away from your mind. And any time and every time the devil will, or your flesh will try to get you to worry and fret, you pray about it. I don't care if it's a bill, food issues, because many of you have food issues. There's no food security for millions of people. Housing issues. Many people are moving out into the country. That's another trend. Thousands of folk. People, listen to me, the people who have means, they are moving. So you need to be wise like them. Even if you don't have much means, you need to move too. Out into the countryside. Go even beyond the suburbs. You don't need to be all up against each other. These people who build these subdivisions and all this kind of stuff, and these houses all jacked up right up. Big old nice houses, all jacked up, only 5 feet away. Are you kidding me? I don't know, man. No, sir. I don't like that. I see them all the time. They look beautiful. All the houses look beautiful. Neighborhood, they see, these people created these neighborhoods for them to pack as many houses in there as they can in there legally. You want to move away from a whole lot of folk. You put some distance between you going forward. For as I told my daughter Danae today, this thing is going to be with us a while. In different forms and fashion, and it may, you know, if we don't repent, it may get worse. And something worse will come. Because see, God is not playing with his people. And he's not playing with America. We're still the number one country as far as deaths and everything. Why? Because no country has been more blessed than America. God blessed us tremendously. And we are going to just do what we want to do against his will. Talking about in God we trust. He's not going to play that. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Beloved, our devotional passage, that was our family passage. Our devotional passage for today is Psalm 28. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands, render to them their desert, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield, my heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, and lift them up forever. Ladies and gentlemen, devotionally speaking, Dr. Matthew Henry said, believers dread the way of sinners. Isn't that true? Those of us who are truly born again, we've gotten to the point, there's shows, if we're prayed up and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, there are shows that we can't even stand anymore. There are things that come on the television that make us roll our eyes and say, this is so stupid. Those who are born again, they cannot stand the sinful way. Even though from time to time they're tempted. But deep down in their heart of hearts, they hate it. Because of the Holy Spirit of God in us. The best are sensible of the danger they are in of being drawn aside. We should all pray earnestly to God for his grace to keep us. Those who are careful not to partake with sinners in their sins have reason to hope that they shall not receive their plagues. Do you know there are many, many hundreds, yea, thousands of Christians who are not suffering from the plague? Because they were not running with the world and running with disobedient Christians in the first place, and God is blessing them right on. And that's where God wants you to be. So humble yourself, pray, seek God's face, turn from your wicked ways, even your secret sins that nobody, you think nobody knows about. And by the way, don't be foolish. Repent and get back to your first love, Jesus Christ. Please do not be foolish and think that you can do evil and others don't know about it in this day and time. People, not only does God know about what you're doing, other people know about what you're doing in the church. One of the most foolish things that we do in the church is to think that we can lie to people and live a hypocritical life and not understand that there are people who have discernment. When they see you or they think about you, and God will make them think about you, and they see you, they will notice something in your spirit, not on your face with your fake smile, not with your firm handshake, that means nothing, not with your praise the Lord, brother, sister, but they discern something is not right in your spirit. And so let me serve notice to all liars and all hypocrites in the church. God has your number. Other people who have the gift of discernment have your number. And you have your own number. So don't be foolish in thinking that you're fooling people, because you're not. Has God heard our supplications? Let us then bless his name. The heart that truly believes shall in due time greatly rejoice. In due time, in time to come. We are to expect joy and peace in believing. God shall have the praise of it. Thus must we express our gratitude. The saints rejoice in others' comfort as well as their own comfort. We have the less benefit from the light of the sun nor from the light of God's countenance for others sharing therein. Join me, my dear friends, in prayer. Yes, it is work. Yes, I know you don't feel like praying. You would rather listen to me pray. I know. But God wants you to pray. And God wants you to pray for others. I cannot explain it to you, but you receive a special blessing in your life when you pray for others besides your four and no more. Pray and ask God to help you to empathize, to sympathize with what others are going through. As I have shared with you, America and even the church is doing something today that I've never seen America do, and that is not remembering the dead. We thank God for a few pockets here and there, but normally when bad things happen in America, we always memorialize the dead and we pray for the families. And it's a public thing. And it's not public today because we have happy talk preachers and happy talk business people and happy talk politicians who don't want to talk about that. They don't want you to know about that. They don't want you to hear anything along those lines. All of my technology has been tapped into, phone has been tapped into. You'd be amazed at what kind of things certain groups can do to you to keep tabs on what you're saying. It's wicked. But I go on anyhow by the grace of God. And we pray for those families that have lost loved ones. Many of them are in the church. And so let's pray for the government as well. Let's pray for everybody in authority. Let's pray for all of those who are fighting for justice. And remember the reason why this justice thing is moving more now than ever is because of the plague. Even Governor Cuomo said something to that effect the other day. Laws are being changed, things are being changed justice-wise and civil rights-wise quickly. Now, it's not like one somebody said last night that 2 months ago this would not have happened, all that's happening right now. All these statues coming down without much fanfare. Bubba Watson making NASCAR get rid of the Confederate flag. And then all the white people marching with one black man with NASCAR on yesterday because he received a noose in his garage. None of that would happen. None of that would have happened if it was not due to the plague, if it wasn't for the plague, the pandemic, as you call it. See, God is moving. It's not us. It's not the protesters. It's not Black Lives Matter. God is moving and laying the sins bare and open and raw that's in our society. And by the way, this is an easy sin. We got some other sins that are personal that people are doing that are more sinister, such as homosexuality, homosexual marriage, the homosexual agenda. See, people don't want to touch that. That's a harder nut to crack for some demonic reason. Racism is on the surface. It's easy to confess and admit and deal with. And I know of some white folks who are treating me better now, and I appreciate it. And it wasn't George Floyd. It's the plague. The plague is working on people big time. White folks and black folks and red folks and yellow folks. People are hurting under this thing. And they don't see an end in sight. The president is hurting. He's hurting because of what happened the other day. So let's pray. And whenever you get a little bit down or depressed, here's what I want to encourage you to say. You know what? I'm gonna give myself to prayer. That's all I'm telling. That's all I want you to do. I'm gonna give myself to prayer, because this is a situation, and I'm facing some things that only God can help me. So let's pray according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessors, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. All men, be thankful for all men and women. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray for all saints everywhere. Help us, Lord, to do what we know we need to do. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us, Lord, to pray. Help us to seek your face. And help us to turn from our wicked ways. And help us to repent and to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, we pray and we thank you for salvation, spiritual life, family, financial, material protection and provision blessings for us down through the years. And for those of us, Lord, who are obeying you in this area, and Lord, we pray that you would protect us all from the coronavirus, even though we know that we deserve the coronavirus just like anybody else, and we deserve punishment and chastisement, and we deserve even to go to hell. We thank you for your holy grace and your holy mercy and your holy Son, Jesus Christ. But Lord, if we, by your grace, are being obedient to you in this time and in this area, we pray that you continue to bless us with the same blessings you've always blessed us with, and with the same favor that you have given to us down through the years. And Holy Father God, we pray for everybody in the government, for the president, for all governors, for all senators, for all representatives, for all state senators, all state representatives, all mayors, all police chiefs, and for all sheriffs and all of the police officers underneath them. We pray also for the protesters and those who are fighting for fairness and justice and civil rights. And we thank you for what you're doing. And and those of us who are here, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for what has happened and what's going on. For through the plague you have tenderized the hearts. You have softened up the hearts of not only black people, but white people and red people and yellow people. And we've never seen more white people marching and wearing Black Lives Matter shirts and so forth. So, Lord, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. We thank you for the plague. Thank you for loving us so much that you will chastise us when we are wrong and we are doing evil. And so, Lord, we pray for the salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection, and provision blessings upon all government officials and for all protesters, those who are protesting right, not those who are tearing up buildings and burning down buildings. We pray that, Lord, quite frankly and quite honestly, that they would be prosecuted and jailed for the evil that they've done to their own community, be they white or black or red or yellow. For we must have law and order. That's the purpose of government. And we need to deal with things in a proper way. And so, Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of all of these people and all of the people who are not saved in this country, around the globe, and in the media. We pray for the revival of all Christians in this country, around the globe, and in the media. We pray, Lord, for all Christians who are being persecuted. Comfort them, strengthen them, protect them, and bless them wherever they might be. And Holy Father God, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, surround them with a band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we pray for all other countries, including Israel, as we do our own country. And now, Lord God in heaven, we pray for all of the people who are hurting today with a pain that many of us do not know anything about. They have lost family members to the coronavirus plague. And we pray that you will draw them to yourself for salvation and for comfort. Draw them to your holy word for salvation and comfort, for we have no words. And we commit them into your hands, and we pray for them by name. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray for the family and friends of Pennsylvania church member Helen B. Days. We pray, Lord, for the family and friends of Virginia church member Sylvia Louise Jenkins. We pray for the family and friends of Indiana church member Alice Louise Trout. We pray, Lord, for the family and friends of Louisiana pastor Harry Blake. We pray for the family and friends of Alabama gospel musician Wayman Henry. We pray for the family and friends of Alabama church member Lorraine Grimsley Shakespeare. We pray for the family and friends of New York church member Luvinia Henderson. We pray for the family and friends of D.C. church member Dr. Alice Gullity. We pray for the family and friends of Illinois church member Antoinette Bell. We pray for the family and friends of Michigan church member Karen Hodgman. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives. Comfort them as only you can, and be with them during this difficult time, and save those who are lost in the millions of in the lives of millions who have lost loved ones. Holy Father God, we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the people who have emailed us directly recently with prayer requests. We pray for Elaine, and she sent in the prayer request for the Lewis family in Monroe, Louisiana. who lost their pastor and father, Hilton Lewis Jr., wife and mother, Shirley Lewis, and son and brother, Hilton Christopher Lewis, to the coronavirus plague situation. We pray for divine comfort and salvation for the surviving daughter and sister, Latera Lewis Cooper, who has returned home from the hospital after testing positive for the virus. We pray for Vicky. Please heal Ruth's body and take away all pain. We pray for David. Please bless them with Christian volunteers online to design their business plan and webpage to enable them to launch their international Christian school. We pray for Patrick that you deliver him from sin, deliver him from confusion and distractions and laziness, and heal his body and remove all prejudice from his heart and help him to surrender his life to you. And we pray for Jesu. Please bless him with a job. We pray for Henry. Please bless him with money to buy church land to build a church building on. We pray for Mindy, for her small business to find success. We pray for her husband's job to be blessed and protected, for their two daughters to be successful in their studies and work. And we pray for the lady who sent in a prayer request regarding her Christian bookstore and how that she needed the money and the freedom to open up in times like these. We pray for Lucette, for a friend, Bakash, and his atheist friend to be saved. We pray for Linda for total healing, for Anthony, for her brother to be completely delivered from alcohol and grief over the murder of his only son, for her daughter to come back to you. We pray for Marie for protection and favor in her life. And Lord, we pray for all of the thousands of others that you would hear and answer their prayers and hear and answer their prayer requests and hear and answer our prayers for them. And we pray for salvation, spiritual, family and life, and financial and material protection and provision blessings upon them all. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll save their lost family members and revive them again and give them a mind to pray without ceasing. We pray now, Lord, for all of the people who have trusted you as Savior through this ministry. And we just name a few now, and then we name a few who have come back to you as well. Help these all to grow in the faith and to stand strong in the faith. We pray for Jazz. We pray for Mo. We pray for Dakota. We pray for Dan. We pray for Day. We pray for Marlene. And we pray for Christy. We pray also for those who have come back to you. We pray for Danette. We pray for Sylvester. We pray for Suleiman. We pray for Tammy, we pray for Moffitt, we pray for Joan, and we pray for Kizzy. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. Lord, let your will be done in our lives as well. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help these all to stand strong in the faith. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Our devotional reading for today is titled Reconciling Yourself to the Fact of Sin by Oswald Chambers. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22, verse 53. Jesus told the priests and soldiers who had come to arrest him. "This is your hour when darkness reigns." Not being reconciled to the fact of sin, not recognizing it and refusing to deal with it, produces all the disasters in our lives and in life. You may talk about the lofty virtues of human nature, but there is something in human nature that will mockingly laugh in the fact of every principle you have. If you refuse to agree with the fact that there is wickedness and selfishness, something downright hateful and wrong in human beings, when it attacks your life instead of reconciling yourself to it, you will compromise with it and say that it is of no use to battle against it. And that's what many, many people who claim to be Christians have done. Just go ahead on and go with the flow. That's why we have homosexual pastors in churches. That's why we have homosexual pastors who are on the down low, and come to find out they've been on the down low for years, using their wife and children as a front and endangering the life of the wife. There's no need in fighting it anymore. Let's just go ahead on and acquiesce and go ahead on and agree, and but do it quietly and just compromise ourselves to death and to persecution, because that's what is going to happen, and that's what has happened. Christians will be persecuted in America, in God We Trust, because we have not reconciled, as the writer is talking about, the fact of sin. We don't want to accept that this is a reality. Sin is a problem, has always been a problem. But a bigger problem is when so-called preachers of the gospel, preachers for God, Christians who compromise with sin to go along, to get along. Have you taken this hour and the power of darkness into account, or do you have a view of yourself which includes no recognition of sin whatsoever? And see, we have come out of a period where people didn't want to deal with sin, didn't want to say anything about sin. And sin is what has gotten us into this mess we're in today. And there are still some who refuse to accept it. We're still God's children. We're still the king's kids. We're the head and not the tail. Don't you believe it? Well, our tails are getting whipped right now. How about that? Ain't nobody the head right now. All of our tails are being whipped because of sin and evil and foolishness. And you need to accept it. You need to understand that and stop believing a lie and stop thinking that church is supposed to be fun all the time. It's supposed to be a carnival. I knew we were in trouble 10 years ago when I passed by a Bible-believing church on my way to another church. Both men are graduates of Dallas Theological Seminary. And on Sunday morning, they were having some kind of carnival festival thing. And one of the things they had right in front of the church was dunk the pastor, dunk somebody, where you throw an apple or something and the people fall into the water in the church. And everybody dressed, all the men dressed in shorts and all the women dressed in tight jeans. I knew we were in trouble then. In your human relationships and friendships, have you reconciled yourself to the fact of sin? If not, just around the next corner, you will find yourself trapped and you will compromise with it. With what? Sin. But if you will reconcile yourself to the fact of sin, you will realize the danger of it immediately and say, yes, I see what this sin would mean. The recognition of sin does not destroy the basis of friendship. It simply establishes a mutual respect for the fact that the basis of a sinful life is disastrous. Always beware of any assessment of life which does not recognize the fact that there is sin. Jesus Christ never trusted human nature, yet he was never cynical nor suspicious, because he had absolute trust in what he could do for human nature and what he was going to do. He died for sin. He suffered, bled, and died for our sins. The pure man or woman is the one who is shielded from harm, not the innocent person. The so-called innocent man or woman is never safe. Men and women have no business trying to be innocent. God demands that they be pure and virtuous, because nobody is innocent who's of age. Innocence is the characteristic of a child. Any person is deserving of blame if he is unwilling to reconcile himself to the sad fact of sin. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you so much for our time together in prayer, in your holy word, in exhortation, in comfort, in praying for others, in hearing your holy word expounded. And so, Holy Father God, help us, Lord, today to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, to come clean with you and others, to repent of our sins, and to get back to you, Lord Jesus, our first love, in a very real sense, by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll give me your grace and your strength and your anointing to share the gospel with those who don't know you, so that they can be saved today. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. And for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you were to die today and you're not sure you would go to heaven, or you know for a fact that you would go to hell, then Jesus has these words for you. Dr. Curtis Hudson called these words preached by Jesus the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." That means, dear friends, no matter how you feel about yourself, no matter how other people feel about you, God loves you. God so loved the world. No matter what you've done, God loves you. You say, well, I murdered somebody. God still loves you. Well, I robbed somebody. God loves you. I burned down a building. God loves you. I choked a man to death. God loves you. You say, well, what kind of love is this? I don't know, but it's a love that I've never experienced before until I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful love, I guarantee you that. It's a out of this world love. You cannot explain it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God so loved you and me, he gave up his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. John the Baptist said that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. You need to believe in him today. Jesus Christ lived a holy and perfect life, the only man to do so. Jesus Christ raised the dead. Jesus Christ walked on the water. Jesus Christ healed the sick and did many other miracles while he was here. And then Jesus Christ took our sin on his shoulders. He suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross, was buried and rose on the third day. That whosoever, the word whosoever means anybody at any time. That includes you, red, yellow, black, or white. We're all precious in God's sight. We may not be precious in everybody else's sight, but we're all precious in God's sight. Whosoever believeth in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish, that is, perish in hell forever, but have everlasting life in heaven with God. Jesus Christ, by the way, preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. He described hell as a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, grinding of teeth together in pain. Hell is a terrible place. Hell is bad news. But I have good news for you. Jesus died for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day. And all you have to do is believe in Jesus and pray and ask him to save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. That's good news, my dear friend. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's good news. Jesus did that for you. God did that for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Perish where? Perish in hell. But have everlasting life. Where? In heaven. That's a great deal. You're not a very wise person if you don't take this deal. You have life insurance. You have health insurance. Most of you do, at least. You have car insurance. Everybody has that, or should have it. Now, today, dear friend, get your eternal life insurance policy already paid in full. All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ. The papers have already been signed, so to speak, by the blood of Jesus, or in the blood of Jesus. So believe in him today. It's a free gift. You don't have to go to church for it. You don't have to be a church member for it. You don't have to be on the trustee board or the deacon board. You don't have to sing in the choir. You don't have to give any money to the preacher. You don't have to give any money to the church. You don't have to work for it. It's free. It's a free gift. Just receive the gift. believe in Christ. If you're doing that right now, if you're willing to do that, pray with me what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. In fact, Lord, I have broken your Ten Commandments. To name just a few, Lord, I have lied before. I have stolen things before. Nothing big, but I have stolen things before. I have lusted in my heart and in my mind after people and things. I've coveted in my heart after people and things, what other people have. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents. I have dishonored you by taking your holy name in vain. And sometimes, Lord, sadly, even with cursing. Holy Father God, have mercy and grace upon me, a sinner. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults, as I now believe in your Holy Son, Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died for my sins on the cross, was buried and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Please come into my spirit and save my soul. I receive your free gift of salvation. Lord, I don't understand it all, but I thank you for it all. Thank you, Lord, for saving my wretched soul. Lord, I humbly pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past. And help me to turn from my evil and wicked life and to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted in Jesus Christ, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, wherever you might be in the world, you might be in the basement in China, and we thank you for being with us. You might be in Kenya. You might be in Ghana. You might be in the Philippines, across America, South America. Wherever you are, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, believing in your heart in Jesus Christ, I declare to you, dear friend, that based upon the Bible, the Word of God, not your feelings, not my feelings, not what you think, not what I think, it's not about that, it's what God thinks and what God has written down for us. You are now saved from the burning hell and you are on your way to heaven. Yes, it is as simple as that. It is as easy as that. Why would God make it difficult and hard for such ignorant and disobedient evil people as we are? We would mess it up. He made it very easy for us, and that's a beautiful thing. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.